Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hi, Adam. I just wanted to let you know that listening to your show has become detrimental to my career. I was in a meeting with the CEO of our company, and I was talking about a project I was working on and how I had QA'd the results three times. And I actually said, I QA'd the results three times full, and everybody just kind of looked at me. So anyway, just wanted to let you know. Thanks. Bye.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Chris Gethard in studio. Lose Well is the name of the book. I'm very interested in this. I saw a stand-up special on HBO. I saw it a year ago, 9 months, 6 months ago. I'm trying to, all life's all just kind of turning into one weird sort of montage and flying past me. I have no idea. When did it air?
Last year.
Okay.
That got quite existential. It's an existential intro.
Well, you know,
life is all blending together into one big blur.
It is, because I realized the other day that Heath Ledger has been dead for 10 years, and I went nuts.
That's
crazy. I thought he died like 9 months ago, or 18 months ago, or a year. I didn't know. Anyway, sorry for having that moment for anyone. Book is available now at Amazon, and you can bookmark us and click to our site. It always just helps. And the stand-up special was very funny, and it was very cathartic, I think, for you and many, and poignant as well. But the book, let's talk about the book.
Sure.
What is it comedic and motivational?
It is. And it's a motivational book, and I want to go on record and say that I don't like self-help books. So when I was contracted to write one, I was like, I'm willing to do it, but I want it to be like actual nuts and bolts advice based on the past 18 years I've been doing comedy, like stuff that I actually learned in the trenches, and that's not snake oil. And it's also funny. It's also got a lot of dumb stories. So it's a good blend, I think.
What are, I have 12-year-old twins. What are, boy and a girl, what are some of the things I would impart to them from this book that would serve them in life and all of us who are listening?
Wow. The 12-year-olds. I'm responsible for the 12-year-olds.
No, partially responsible for the boy.
I mean, I think the main thing I put out there in the book is I think that we have a very black and white definition of success in our culture, and I just don't buy that anymore. I think the longer you try something creative, the more you realize that there are shades of gray and that you might have to fail a lot. In fact, I think you definitely have to fail a lot. And most people you see who are successful just got used to failure at some point, and that's part of why they broke through. And a lot of what I'm saying in the book is this effort to sort of say, like, I've spent most of my career feeling like a loser, but then I also wind up, like you said, with an HBO special. And so much of that is because you just bang your head against the wall and learn how to be ready, and you can't sit around fearing it. Like, so many people have these ideas of things they want to do, and they never try them because they're scared they'll fail. And it's like, yeah, you will. And along the way, you will learn how to do it better next time, and you'll figure out how to have a thicker skin and not let that destroy you mentally.
You know, it's an interesting business we're in, the stand-up business, the comedy business, because just sort of think about where the bar is set for stand-ups. You go, we do a cruise every year. You go on the cruise, you find out that there's a stand-up comedian who's on the cruise whose job is to work to do two sets. And then after that, you're just basically a first-class passenger on the cruise. And you look at that guy's life and you go, loser. Look at that loser. And it's like, right. Let's think where that bar is set. Yeah. For let's just take coal mining, for instance, or fracking. First off, I remember like Mike August was like, oh, that guy's career is to tankaroo. All he does is these cruises. He just he gets paid to cruise.
To
he
vacation.
Has to go up there and crap out a 25-minute set that he could do in his sleep. And then it's hit the buffet and nail chick du jour on the Lido deck. And we have a business that's so tough that you look at that guy and go, oh, what happened?
Bottomed out.
What happened?
Whereas I'm sure if you told any of those guys when they were 15 years old, like, you're going to be paid to do stand-up and that'll be your whole job, they would have said, that sounds amazing. That's the most amazing reality I can imagine for myself. And then it just becomes this thing where you're always looking at the next person's success and going, well, why don't I have that? And it's like, there's a million different reasons. And we can't judge each other by these weird standards that I think all go back to this idea that we have to win all the time.
Yeah, it makes it easier. And I should tell you that this half of the show is brought to you by MedMen, MedMen.com. And let them know I sent you. And Robin Hood as well. I'll tell you that at Corolla.RobinHood.com. I think the difference in stand-up or many of the arts and the rest of the world is I don't watch LeBron James and go, fuck that guy. If I ever got on a court with him, I would take his ass to school. I would fucking school that guy. I'd back him into the paint and I'd just fucking jam on his ass all day long. I don't do that. In comedy, you could watch a guy who sold out Madison Square Garden and go, fuck, I'm funnier than that guy.
I could dunk on that guy.
I could dunk on that guy, like, comedically. And you may be right.
Yeah.
It just that's the business. It's a weird business. It doesn't really exist in many other businesses.
It's also a business where eating shit is part of it, and there's no way around that, and you can't escape that no matter how long you've been doing it. You will bomb again. There's no world in which anyone is never going to bomb again. I don't buy it. I don't think the biggest acts in the world can escape just totally eating it in front of a crowd every now and then.
Yeah, well, and it's, I guess, important. Go ahead, Brian.
You know, another version of that you're talking about, I come across a lot when I'm looking up, like, whatever happened to that actor? That actor who was in that thing, he was great. Whatever happened to him? Or I haven't heard much from him. Like, he hasn't worked since whatever, 1999 or whatever it's been. And you look at IMDb, and it's like, oh, he's been working consistently, you know, doing TV and doing whatever, or director or whatever. And you're like, oh, they're making a living as an actor. They're making a living as a director. You might not know all their projects. You might not see any of their projects, but their livelihood is acting.
I have to stop myself all the time and stop people around me from going, that guy's not working anymore. It's like, no, first off, you have a very limited scope of what you, I watch car auction shows all day, so I wouldn't know unless the guy's a car auctioneer and he works for Barrett Jackson. I wouldn't really know. Like, I don't watch his show. How do I know he's not on or she's not on? We're so myopic that we go, I haven't seen this person.
They haven't seen him on a billboard.
They have no career. Right. It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
We should stop it. I agree with Brian.
Okay. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everybody. So the book. I'm sorry. What else do we need to learn from the book?
What's some other stuff we can learn from the book? I think that one of the things I talk about a lot is that I come from a background where there were zero artists around me. I don't think that's a thing that should stop you. I think that the working class values that you learn if you come from a family that's not artists and not of that class actually serve you really well. I think that a lot of us who come from that situation sit there and go, well, I'm not supposed to do a thing like that. And that's another thing that I'm like, I don't buy it. And in fact, I think the ability to work hard on your own behalf actually serves you super well, which segues into another thing is I think more and more, and I think you're an example of this as much as anyone, is you sometimes have to figure out how to create your own path. I'm a weird looking man who is stumbly and nervous and awkward and depressed a lot of the time, and I've survived and made a living. And a lot of that is because every time someone sort of shut me down or slammed a door in my face, I just went and found a way to make it happen. And you can do it yourself in the modern world. And there's a lot of powers that be that don't want us to know that and don't want us to embrace that. Your boss wants you to stay in your cubicle, you know, like your parents who didn't chase their dreams don't want you to show them up. But at a certain point, it might be on you to just go make it happen if that's a thing you need to happen in your life.
Yeah, I always sort of believe that you should just have 1,000 sort of fishing lines in the ocean and see if you get any bites. I said when I got fired from my terrestrial radio job when the economy was kind of tanking out in 2009, I just remember saying to my wife, I said two things, actually. I said, it's now a new world order where there's just a whole bunch of hoses and they're all just going into a trough and some are trickling and some are spitting out water at a higher rate and some are sucking water out of the trough. Like, we need to get those out of the trough.
The kids.
Get them out of the trough. Yes. I
was one of those too.
I just had this sort of vision of a trough and the what was in it would be income. And our job was to see, and we wouldn't know in advance, like I was doing a podcast for free and there was no money coming out of the hose. And the hose that was in the trough was sucking water out because I had to pay for bandwidth and whatever the expenses are. Nothing's for free, you know? So it's like I was doing a daily podcast and there was nothing coming in the door. So like, how long do you leave that in there? And then what are the, and then at some point, probably a year or so in, like DirecTV came calling and they're like, you want to do a syndicated, you know, video, radio, you know, whatever. And I was like, I don't know. I think this hose called podcasting that was sucking water out of my trough is just starting to spit out a little water. Like when a pump gets primed, it's just starting, but I think it's going to speed up, but I don't know. And I got way down the road on a good, you know, payday of a regular job as we knew it back in the day. And at some point just pulled the plug on it in the last second.
Yeah. My version of it is I had this idea for a TV show in my head, and everyone I was doing it on stage in New York and everybody loved it. It was like a cult thing in New York. And then I'd bring it to TV people and they would ask for meetings and they'd just go, this is way too weird. And no one wanted me to have it. So in 2010, I write about all this in the book. 2010, I booked a lead part on a sitcom for Comedy Central, and there was all this hype and buzz. The New York Times wrote a profile of me saying, like, who is this guy who came out of nowhere? I got the job on 4 days notice because the dude who played Napoleon Dynamite dropped out. And then it was all this stuff, and it was like everything I thought I wanted, and all of a sudden I was like getting girls and I was staying out all night and I had money for the first time. But then when we were working on the show, I started to realize, like, oh, it's not going to be good. Like, I could tell, you could feel how it was going. Yeah. You're like, it's not going to be good. So I had this really bizarre window where it was like I'm living this dream life, and then it bombed out. And I realized, like, it didn't hurt me that bad. And I was like, I don't really watch sitcoms. Like, this was all ego. This was just me wanting to have a job as good as jobs my friends had. It was all just, like, jealousy. And then I started thinking, I want to do my weird stuff as my real TV show. I want to go push my weird stuff. And nobody wanted it. So less than 8 months after my sitcom was canceled, I was hosting a public access TV show. And I did that for almost 5 years, which by anybody's standard definition of success represents a severe, concerning downfall. Like, there's no way around that. But it built its audience. It built its crowd. It built a whole cult. And all of a sudden, things broke through again. And when they did, not only did I have a career, it was something that I was actually in control of, which was a huge welcome change of pace.
How you did it out of New York?
Yeah. It was nuts.
I guess no one does public access anymore, do they? Or do you need to? Or are they just doing it home with their phone? Like, I did a public access show.
Yeah.
Too, out of like Eagle Rock public access.
It's a weird world. Now a lot of the creative people go straight to YouTube and things like that. And it means the people still doing public access are wild.
My public access show at the end just said, for more information or bookings or whatever, call this number. It was a number to my apartment. Like, I just put number. I just have guys call me. Max, if you ever find that thing, you'll see. At the end, it was just my apartment number in Santa Monica. Like, hey, give me a call.
phone. That's insane.
No one ever saw it, so it didn't matter.
If the bill was paid, the phone might ring.
But I used it to get in with Kimmel, like, because Kimmel was like, "You're funny, but what do you got?" And I was like, "I don't have anything, but I have this public access tape," and I just gave it to him over the weekend, and he watched it, and he's like, "Oh, okay." So it didn't serve it. The public access show for me didn't serve anything except for I ended up with a tape that I was able to hand to Kimmel, which then got me into K-Rock. But who is doing public access today?
And me do and they a have a lot of psychos?
Yeah, it's got to be a choice. Yeah.
There was a guy. They had a whole in the Manhattan Public Access Studio. They have a whole wall that they showed me that is people who are banned from entering. Uh-huh. And pretty much the only thing they ban you for is if you threaten violence. And there's a whole wall.
Wow.
There was one guy they told me who was a high ranking member of the Latin Kings, mm-hmm. and he had a show. And at one point, he was doing a live broadcast, and the fire alarm went off, and he became convinced that it was people trying to, like, shut down his message. And he got in a big fight, and he threatened to kill someone. This is all conjecture. I don't know this for a fact. I should say this is all alleged.
If only there was video of it.
But here's my favorite part, though, is they told him, you can't come inside the studio anymore. But they still let him have a show. He would have to go to the corner, call the security guy, and then the guy would come get his tape, and they would still air it.
Sweet loophole.
Yeah.
It is... It's a weird. I guess not everyone should have a TV show. I think that's what I want to say. All right, let me tell you. thank you. The more you know. Let me tell you about MedMen. MedMen. Today's cannabis consumers. Everyone. Everywhere. Let's drop the labels. MedMen. You can be an executive, a parent, a customer. There's something for everyone. Whether you're new to the cannabis world or familiar with stuff like flower lotions, edible vape pens, bath bombs, and more. Touch screens that allow you to view in-depth product info and red-shirted staff. Incredibly knowledgeable, puts you at ease. You can check out one of their 14 retail locations in L.A., Orange County, and San Diego as well. And now open new store on the Vegas Strip, everyone. Paradise and Harmon is where it is. You can visit them online at MedMen.com and find the store nearest you. At MedMen.com, right, Dawson?
And for our listeners, visit any MedMen and mention Adam Carolla at checkout for $10 off your order. Keep out of reach of children for use only by adults 21 years of age and older. Check out MedMen today.
Yes, Gina Grant.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Chris and all his projects. And one thing that I really love, but it kind of eludes me, like if I put myself in the space of having done that, your podcast, Beautiful Anonymous, is riveting. And because you literally don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's a random stranger calling a hotline and picking up the phone and just talking to Chris. And sometimes they have something to say and sometimes they don't. And it's timed. And when it shuts down, it shuts down. And every time I listen to an episode, I think, I don't know. I thought I was, but after listening to you, I don't know if I have the patience and the understanding and the open-mindedness to be able to have such a wonderful, interesting, civil conversation with a stranger that you might completely disagree with on every level.
Thanks. Yeah, it's pretty eye-opening. It's weird. Like, I'll tweet out a phone number and we get 10,000 calls every time. And it's like playing the lottery where it's like we might get someone really boring or someone really nuts. But usually they're very nice people and it's a wide range. Like, we had an episode that was just a guy telling me about all the different times he pooped his pants. And then we've also had like a survivor of the Las Vegas shooting. It's like I don't know what it's going to be at any time. Yeah. It's a weird life.
One just said, I don't know, my daughter gave me this number and told me to call it and hand me the phone.
Oh, yeah.
So now you don't know what you're going to do for an hour or for however long.
And she wound up being this was right before the election. It was a month or two before the 2016 election, and she was a Trump supporter. And I remember thinking, like, if people had listened to this episode, like, if this had gone wider, I think people, like, the Democratic Party would have wanted to analyze this, because it was a lady literally going like, I'm voting for Trump. And I'd go, why? And she'd go, I don't know. And I'd be like, do you like everything that he's saying? And she'd be like, no, actually, I think he's like kind of a bad guy. And I'd be like, but you're voting for him. She'd be like, yeah, I just trust him. And it was really weird. It was really weird. She'd be like, I really hate the way he talks about women. That being said, I trust him the most. And I was like, this is nuts.
We can hear, these are all archived. We can go back and listen to these.
Yeah, they're all out there.
We should, it's Beautiful Anonymous is the podcast. All right, let's take ourselves a quick break, then we'll come back and we'll do the news with Gina Grant.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
Hey, it's Eric Stromer.
Hey, it's kind of my thing.
Hey, I'm going to... All right, sorry. Hi, I'm Eric Stromer.
Let's not live in the past. You should listen to Ace on the House because me and Stromer dispense building advice every Saturday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
I might even go as far as to say professional building advice.
Hey, get me some coffee.
There you go. I mean, here I go. I'm running.
Ace on the House, every Saturday on Corolla Digital. Download now at adamcarolla.com, the Podcast One app, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Ace on the House. Hey, ghouls and gals, if you're in Vegas for Halloween weekend, then be sure to join us for costume karaoke at the Other Room in Caesar's Palace. Hang with Lynette Carolla and AJ Benza for a meet and greet from 7:30 to 9 October 27th. Then get ready for a karaoke contest fueled by a haunting amount of Mangria and endless rant, judged by AJ and Lynette. So join Carolla Drinks, AJ Benza, and Lynette Carolla for costume karaoke Saturday, October 27th at the Other Room in Caesar's Palace. More info at adamcarolla.com. No ticket necessary. Just show up and drink.
There we go. All right, Gina Grad, let's do some news, shall
Got
we?
It.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina, Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, Ray Carruth, who we've talked about on this show, the former Carolina Panthers wide receiver who was convicted in 2001 of conspiracy in the 1999 shooting death of his pregnant girlfriend, was released from prison Monday morning. Yep, the former 1997 first-round draft pick from the University of Colorado played parts of three seasons in the NFL. In November 99, his pregnant girlfriend, Cherica Adams, was shot four times in her car by an associate of Carruth. She died a month later from her wounds. The baby survived but suffered permanent brain damage. Carruth was convicted of hiring his friend to murder Adams and was, and I heard on the radio on the way in, because he didn't want to pay child support, was sentenced to a minimum of 18
years. I want
to
do a podcast where instead of taking random calls, I just go find the fucking parents of these people and go, what the fuck did you create? Like,
I'd listen to that.
The worst person on the planet. You made the worst person on the planet. He has an NFL contract. She's 24. He gets her pregnant and he doesn't want to pay child support. So he just hires a guy to shoot her while he blocks her off in a car. You stop in front, I'll stop behind, and then he just stands there while you just shoot your unborn son and her
per your wishes
multiple times, and that's $6,000. Like, what did you do wrong with this boy?
Where did it go wrong?
Should we go nature or nurture? Where do we want to start?
I know you want to start with nature, but let's do a little nurture.
Put that money towards the child support as well.
Yeah,
murder ain't cheap.
No. Well, in this case, it was. It was $6,000. But
in this case,
losing a lucrative NFL contract.
Yeah, that's factored in.
Yeah, you got to factor that in.
Yeah, the shooter is serving a minimum of 40 years, but he's out now from his 18 years and 11 months.
Carruth is.
Yeah.
And again, he wants to be reunited with his son, who's in a wheelchair.
Yeah, being raised by the grandmother.
Severely, obviously, altered by this shooting. And so I don't know if Carruth has, like, found Jesus Christ in prison or something like that, or done something.
Well,
he must have found something.
Yeah, when you say, all of a sudden I want to be reunited with the baby I tried to murder, there has to be something in it.
I'm pretty sure he wants in. Is that the... No?
Weeks later, he changed his mind, said he's no longer wants to pursue a relationship.
Poor kid.
After the grandma said, you're not getting anywhere near him, he went out and said, okay, I no longer want to pursue this relationship anymore.
Mm.
So grandma put a stop to that.
Yeah.
He's going to end up in Florida, right? I don't know why, but
Keys.
You have to go to Florida if you're Ray Carruth at this point, right? All right.
Yeah, so look forward to that. So the caravan of migrants marching through Mexico and headed to the U.S. swelled to at least 5,000 people on Sunday, according to USA Today. I don't know how familiar you are with the story, but
I've heard about it.
It's pretty crazy. An estimated 3,000 would-be migrants marched out of Honduras on October 13th. Their goal was to walk through Guatemala and Mexico to the U.S. Many of the migrants cited poverty, corruption, gang violence in Honduras for their flight. Mexico has been trying to slowly process asylum requests in small groups, in some cases providing 45-day escape visitor permits, but thousands of migrants grew impatient. They circumvented the bureaucracy and they just started making rafts and swimming into Mexico and other things that would make them undeterred by border authorities. As for how the president feels about it, Trump has been pressuring the three countries to halt the caravan.
I guess the other way.
But did you?
Oh.
Threatening to welcome.
Well, now he wants to cut off aid to the countries and deploy troops along the border if it makes it that far. He has made the caravan the central theme of the midterm elections, accusing the Democrats of supporting open borders and encouraging mass migration. And it was funny, on the way in here, people were talking about, you know, did Democrats pay these migrants to, you know, do this during, you know, right up to the midterm election? And the guy on the radio said it would make more sense if the Republicans paid them,
yeah,
because they're using this like their poster child right now everywhere.
Agreed. And I have a novel approach to this problem. How about Honduras gets their fucking shit together?
Be nice.
It would be nice, because at a certain point, I don't know if we're going to be the sort of there's a lot of countries, a lot of them are fucked up, and we're going to have a lot of people coming over here from fucked up countries, which is okay to a certain point, but at a certain point, it'd just be nice if all the countries worked on their shit a little, and I bet people wouldn't want to walk here from Honduras if they loved
that
Honduras.
That loops around, though, right? Because we went into South America and messed with so many of their governments where you're like, we did go in and install a bunch of dictators back
well,
in the day.
Well, let's unfuck these countries then. Let's unring that bell. Let's see what we can do.
Yeah.
That did I misunderstand? Are they looking for asylum in Mexico, or are they trying to get to the U.S.?
They're trying to get through Mexico to the U.S.
Okay.
Which and just in time for the midterm elections, which is, you know, freaking the Democrats out, because it's kind of a slam dunk for Trump, because he's saying this is what they wanted, and now there's thousands of people marching here, and it's going to, you know, it's going to be chaos. So we'll keep an eye on that march. Pete Davidson made his first stage appearance on Saturday night since his breakup with Ariana Grande.
It's not funny. But first off, if you decide I want to date Ariana Grande, don't you just sort of get what's coming? You know what I mean? Like, do we ever feel sorry for you? Like, you made that trophy wife decision. You went for that. Like
doesn't always work out.
Well, the deal is, you know, all the guys out there are always like, I want a 10. But that's good if you're a 9+.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If you reach that hot dish, you could get burned.
Yes, if you are, I like Pete Davidson, I think. I don't know him well. But I'm just saying, if you are a 6 and you want that 10.
And you get a 12.
That's great, but it's not going to go on forever.
Right.
That's kind of the thing. Women actually have it smart. Women are smart that way. A lot of women, I've known a few, who are the Amazonian blonde who do get the nebbishy guy just because they know he's never going anywhere.
The Christie Brinkley's and the Billy Jones.
That's right.
I have benefited.
That's right.
I have benefited from that.
Yeah. Where are you going?
Thank God. Thank God for it. Yeah. Thank God for it.
Hey, is there any way you can eat pussy and do the laundry?
I would love, please. Whatever you need. Whatever you need, right?
You can fold. You can make those sock balls with your feet while you eat my pussy, can't you, Chris? Come on. Yeah, you're never going anywhere. What guys do is they go, oh, I'm going to the top of the mountain, and that's great for a while, but wise up.
Yeah, steep climb down. So he co-hosted the comedy show Judd and Pete for America, benefiting Swing Left at Largo at the Coronet in West Hollywood here with Judd Apatow. So according to E! Online, Davidson...
Judd did your stand-up special, right?
He did. Yeah, he produced it.
He's such a good guy, isn't he?
I just saw him earlier today. He's such a nice, genuine man.
He's very genuine and very sincere and very nice.
Yeah. I'm lucky that he reached out of nowhere and said he would like to help me, and all of a sudden I got an HBO special.
Wow.
He just emailed me one day. He's like, I showed a video of your show to HBO. They want to do it. And I was like, our lives could not be more different that you can just go do that.
Did you know him to that point?
A little bit.
Okay.
Not too much.
Out of the blue.
No, I'd met him 3 or 4 times. Hmm. And then all of a sudden that happened.
Wow.
Good dude. Thanks, Judd.
Yeah.
Yes, so according to E, Davidson told the crowd he didn't want to be there, as he had a lot going on, and then asked if anyone was looking for a roommate. After Apatow praised Davidson for showing up and jokingly admitted that he cares more about America than he does about Pete's feelings, Pete replied, quote, I feel like I am America. I'm a good guy that just keeps getting kicked in the dick. You're like, ah, that fucking poor kid. Hope he doesn't kill himself. That's America.
But how old is he?
24. four, five
or something. I mean,
I think she's a year older than him.
Whatever. He's so far ahead of the game.
Oh yeah.
I mean, what was everyone doing when they were 25? Nothing. I was working construction, driving a pickup truck.
I tell you what, I was feeling a lot of anxiety about things not as bad as having Ariana Grande dump me publicly. I will say that. I will say that. The anxiety of that.
Yeah, I was dating Tiffany when I was 25, and we had a pretty bad patch.
Right.
But I pulled it together. I got through it.
Yeah.
That's right.
I feel bad
to you.
I do feel bad that his the first SNL this year, if you saw it, like, they had him on so many times talking about that situation, and then 2 weeks later, it all went down. Yeah. That's rough. That's rough.
It's also kind of weird, especially in the comedy world and SNL, I guess, or maybe it's right on point, that this cast member that you hardly ever use is now all over your show because he's dating a famous chick. It's kind of a weird, like, did he get funny? Or did she make him funny overnight? Or like,
she probably had more performances on SNL.
Yep.
Well, Elon Musk has come a step closer to creating a loop transit system beneath L.A. The billionaire SpaceX founder said his underground tunnel for the project is almost done, and he says it'll be ready on December 10th, right here in L.A. The tunnel, which is being built by Musk's Boring Company, will contain autonomous electric skates capable of transporting cars and people at speeds of up to 150 miles an hour. And according to the Hawthorne Council document submitted by the Boring Company, quote, the concept is that a vehicle would be able to drive onto the skate, the engine would be turned off, and the vehicle and its passenger would be transported from one end of the test tunnel to the other. It's supposed to open on December 10th. There's going to be free rides all day to the public. Musk is also helping develop a transportation system known as the Hyperloop. That's supposed to be 750 miles an hour. He's also working on something to and from Dodger Stadium and something to and from O'Hare in Chicago.
Well,
tubes.
Obviously, whoever's running LA has little to no interest in traffic or anything to do with this at all, and never really has. We've just been like number one in traffic since I was in the 10th grade, and that's that. So, good.
Where
good,
does this
Elon.
Go from? Where is it?
It's
going to
go in a circle around this parking lot. It's SpaceX near LAX, but he's still going to show that it can be done. I'm guessing it's not going anywhere yet.
Well, this is pretty specific to locals here, but it says that SpaceX's car park east of Crenshaw Boulevard and south of 120th Street, then turns west under 120th Street and remains along that way for 2 miles. So,
but Brian, you know all those times you're like in the parking lot of SpaceX and you're like, man, I wish I was in another part of this parking lot. And you're like, God, we can put a man on the moon. SpaceX, literally, a man on the moon, but I can't get to another part of this parking lot?
It's at Crenshaw at 120th. This is the most brilliant idea he's ever had. It's not going to work, so let's put it where no one ever wants to go, thus no one will ever approve that it works.
It also sounds pretty short, and it goes 150 miles an hour.
Yeah. Dude, that is South Central. 120th in Crenshaw? That is, Reginald Denny wouldn't go there.
How dare you?
How dare you?
Today.
Today.
So Amy Schumer wants Maroon 5 to withdraw from their Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh, she did a great preemptive strike.
She did.
Right?
In support of Colin Kaepernick. Amy's also boycotting the big game, saying in an Instagram post she won't appear in any Super Bowl commercials because hitting the NFL with the advertisers is the only way to really hurt them.
But it's great because I don't think she was asked to be in any commercials.
Doesn't matter.
Hey, Ariana Grande, I'm not going to fuck you.
Yep, that's right.
If you're listening, I shall not.
Well,
and let it be known.
Right, exactly.
Shout it from the mountaintops. Not only am I not going to do any Pepsi or Dorito commercials on Super Bowl Sunday, I will not fuck Ariana Grande.
Wow.
Put it out.
Man.
Put it out.
You're
Tell
strong.
Her publicist.
Yeah. Well, she thinks it would be cool if Maroon 5 backed out of the Super Bowl like Rihanna did.
I'd be all right with them. Dude, let John Hyatt or Graham Parker play it, for Christ's sake. Let's enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, because on Friday it was reported that Rihanna refused to headline the show because of the controversy.
Oh.
So she's getting on board.
But I don't get the because of Kaepernick and the knee and the boy.
But what does Maroon 5 have to do with it?
Well, they're headlining.
No, but why?
It's Sun City. You can't play Sun City.
Oh, so you don't think anyone should play?
She wants them to take a moral stand and walk away.
I'd be all right with.
So if Coldplay says yes next, she'll say Coldplay should take a stand. And if, you know, it doesn't matter who it is right now.
Right. Everyone should take a stand about kneeling.
Ironically.
I don't know. Does everything have to be politicized? Does it have to infest every aspect of our lives and humanity? It's just everywhere all the time now.
But I think But for the NFL, I mean, that train left the station.
This is ground zero. But now she should just shut the fuck up and let Maroon 5 play, and who gives a shit?
To your point about the preemptive strike, that's brilliant because, as I know, because Christy worked on a Super Bowl campaign, like an actual Super Bowl commercial a few years ago. These commercials are well into production. They've hired the talent. Like, well, some of them are probably done already. Like, she knows if she's going to be in a commercial or not. And the answer, I'm guessing, is not.
No, I had him pull my Mac commercial already.
Oh, hero.
All right. Anyway, hero. Thank you. Oh, God. Sad when comedians all have to get into the fucking shit, too. Just shut up. Or tell jokes. Or do something. Or do whatever you want. That's my point.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, just a tiny non sequitur. I had no desire to watch it, but I finally got around to watching 5'2", the Lady Gaga documentary. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to spoil the ending for anyone, but this
she becomes super famous?
This is how much on lockdown the NFL has their footage. It tells her story and everything, and it's great. But it starts out with you seeing her rehearse for the halftime show for Super Bowl. And the whole story is sort of interwoven with leading up to this culminating moment. This is what it's all been about. The final ending, it's this big crescendo. Everyone's hands in the middle. This is what we've been working for. This is my lifetime achievement. And then it cuts to everybody running back into the locker room going,
wasn't that great?
We did it!
Yeah.
Stock footage.
NFL, Lady Gaga couldn't even get her hands on her own footage, apparently.
That's brutal.
It was very funny.
I'd be fine. You know they do throwback uniforms?
Mm-hmm.
Throwback entertainment.
Ooh. Okay.
NFL used to have guys in there like breaking blocks of ice with their head like Taekwondo masters. They have like Falconers out there.
It's a variety show.
The halftime
crazy
show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can find footage of like halftime NFL stuff. I mean, the first Super Bowl was like, you know, marching bands, right, like college marching bands and stuff. But they used to have sort of sideshows, like sort of carnival sideshows, like, oh, there's a guy, and again, he can break 10 cinder blocks with one karate chop, and he'd like stack them
so
all
awesome
up, and you could just have a whole throwback entertainment thing.
The halftime shows have come a long way quickly. It wasn't that, like, maybe like Chris looked this up, like 1990 or something, where Up With People was the halftime
yeah
show. That's the modern era.
Oh, yeah. They'd have, like, Papa Do Run Run would come up here and cover Beach Boys songs, you know? Like, it was real wholesome, straightforward shit.
Now Adam Levine chicks can break 10 cinder blocks.
There'd be chicks who did stuff. There'd be that guy with, like, flaming baton, you know, throwing the baton up in there.
Remember the ABA? All that stuff? There was, like, a basketball alternative to the NBA, and the ABA used to do stuff where they'd have like, hey, we're going to have a halftime show where a guy comes out and fights a bear, like stuff like that. Like,
oh, yeah. High wire acts, like yeah just kind of freak show
I'd
stuff
love to see that. That's
yeah,
way
see
more
if you can
fun
find. There's NFL yeah films. There's an NFL films one of a karate guy trying to break a block of ice.
And the crowd stays in their seats for this? This isn't the potty break?
I'd be more inclined to watch that than... I would probably
Maroon
stay for
five
that more yeah than Maroon 5.
I yeah would absolutely.
Karate dude trying to kick 10 cinder blocks? Yeah, sign
was,
me up.
It was, like, it was like the NFL films Follies. All right, Max Zapata, where they had like Yosemite Sam doing the voice, or what's his name doing the voice. And it's like he kept trying to bust the block of ice by karate chopping it.
Right.
But it was all halftime, just halftime junk. Oh, wait. No, we have it. Right. NFL film font. You see this?
Hey!
Yes.
Oh, my.
It's got a towel on a block of ice, like several blocks of ice. And it's
like 50,000 people yeah watching him not be able to do this.
Hey! Hey!
There's a lot of marching bands, drill teams.
Wow. Up With People is 86, so I was off by a couple of years, but that's not the old days.
No, they did it a few times.
Boy, does this guy have carpal
like
tunnel syndrome now. I guarantee now. This is from like 1974.
Oh, he did it!
He busted the ice in half eventually. I'd watch that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
If I was an ice-busting guy, I'd be working like Tampa Bay,
the circuit,
warmer climates.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Let the ice get it out there early. Let it start sweating.
Let the ice do
yeah
the work for
loosen
you.
Loosen up a little
yeah
bit. Spend some time in the Tampa sun before I take my sweet time and saunter out to it. You know, just get it a little broken.
That's smart.
Before I break it. All right, let me tell you about Robin Hood. There you go. It's an investing app. It lets you buy and sell stocks, options, and cryptos commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. It's a good time to be alive. You can get in on it. This was such a strange, weird world to me when I was young. Now, just get the app, man. No commission fees. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade. You keep all of your profits. Easy to understand charts and market data. Place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. Custom notifications for price movements. Never miss the moment to invest. Robinhood is giving my listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio, and you just sign up at Corolla.Robinhood.com. That's Corolla.Robinhood.com. Get your free stock. Get started. All right. Oh, 1989, there's an Elvis impersonator.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think the Pop Act started in 91, New Kids on the Block.
Yeah.
It should.
And then after that, it was all
the best
pop
one was issues. Baseball, though, right? That Death to Disco night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That one
right.
Blew up the disco. It blew
actual
up all the
riot
records.
Broke out. Because I think it was also Quarter Beer Night. Those were the same nights.
Right.
So they just created mayhem on purpose.
Yeah, they used to do seat cushion night, and everyone would fling them like frisbees out onto the, you know, bad call. They used to have bat night at Dodger Stadium.
That's a bad idea.
It is now.
Yeah.
You know what halftime show time has not been kind to? 1997 was, the theme was the Blues Brothers Bash. It was the reunion of the Blues Brothers for that terrible movie that came out.
Right. Blues Brothers 2000
yep,
or something.
It came out in 1998.
That stuff. Well, singer Paula Abdul tumbled off the stage during a concert performance Saturday night in Biloxi, Mississippi. But according to TMZ, the 56-year-old singer bounced right back up and continued her act. The former American Idol judge was singing.
She's singing?
Yeah, well, she's
on
stage.
Performing?
She's on stage and there's a song playing, A Promise of a New Day. And while clapping and dancing toward the edge of the stage, she can be seen falling headfirst into the crowd. Here's some footage of it just so you can get the... Edging close to that.
Oh, she's not singing.
And down she goes. People
so
gasp.
She just has her singing in the back,
yeah.
And then she goes DJ Khaled on her own ass. Yeah.
Come
on, come now.
On. We're number one. We're the best.
She's like a right. Good chorus. She comments ironically on the
I don't think she can sing, but yeah. Well, we wish her
she
well.
Can dance.
I'm shocked at that footage. She was just walking slowly forward.
Yeah.
It wasn't
didn't.
A hard dance she, move that she no. Slipped and fell off the stage. She seemed to just intentionally walk.
Walk the plank.
Mm. She went full lemming. I you know, the thing, you know, there's a thing, and it's a volatile combination. It's stiletto heels.
Yeah, those are big ones.
Stage edge that's not clearly marked. Mm. A spotlight in your mm-hmm. face, perhaps prescription medication, and that leads to a tumble.
Yeah, that's bad math.
I think we're going to see more of that
yeah.
In the future.
And when they said head first, I'm like, okay, don't exaggerate. But she went down hard.
But she got back up.
According to TMZ, she got right back up.
She's feeling no pain.
Yeah.
And did the track must have continued, right? I mean, to be fair, getting back up to not singing your song is pretty doable.
Yeah.
I feel like I could do that to a Paula Abdul song.
It's pretty baseline.
There's nothing that's sadly underlined lip syncing more in history, though, right?
The singing
you fall head first off the stage and your voice is still singing in the background.
Yeah.
Did it continue, Max Pat? I guess it just continued, right?
Yeah, that's the only video we're finding.
Oh, it doesn't keep going? I feel like it's got to be a little aftermath
yeah,
there.
Even when TMZ posts that video and it doesn't say TMZ on the front, you know that is the only video that's out there. But yeah, she was clearly not singing, but we wish her speedy recovery.
Mm-hmm.
David Crosby has joined the advisory board of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. He says, quote, I'd like cannabis to be legal everywhere. I knew people who were in jail for years over a couple of joints, and it's just not right. The places that have done it are winning, and they will have money for schools, roads, hospitals, and are no longer arresting otherwise respectable adults for consuming marijuana. Also on the advisory board is Willie Nelson and former Dallas Cowboy Mark Stipnoski.
Wow.
Well, I feel like we have a weird society. Like, we do it with pot. We do it with gay marriage. We do it with, I guess, civil rights. someone has an idea like, hey, maybe everything should be equal or everything should be legal or everything should be whatever. And they go, fine, let's argue about it for 35, maybe 50 years, and then we'll do it. Yeah. And my thing, I have the same sort of thing with like my wife, essentially, where I go like, look, just put your keys in the same spot every single time and then we'll just move on with our lives. Or we could be just plagued by it. We could just be hampered by this for a decade and then we'll start doing it. But let's just do it now.
Yeah.
Let's just start now. And I feel this way with all this stuff. Like, it's going to happen. Pot's going to be legal. It is legal. It seems to be legal. Almost everything.
There we go.
Move on. Just moving. Just turn the page. Turn the rolling paper. Pull the paper. Pull the page. The guy who really got screwed was Tommy Chong, right?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Also on the advisory board of Normal. I'm looking at it right now.
Was in prison for, like, making bongs.
Yeah. Shipping them to the wrong place.
In, like, modern times.
Yep.
We went, like, we got to incarcerate this guy.
Yeah.
He's shipping glass water bongs to the wrong place.
Yep. Or to, you know, to a state or, you know, across the border or whatever.
He, like, physically went to prison.
Yeah.
That's insane.
For a year plus. Like, someone's got to put me in charge. I have a ledger. It's earners and it's leeches. And Tommy Chong is an earner. Like, let's not pull this guy out of the earners pool. This guy's paying taxes. Mm-hmm. Let's let him sell those bongs and hammer those checks.
You're really screwing over Cheech on that one, too.
Yeah. So
there's a
yeah.
big domino effect here when Chong has to go into the hooscow.
Yeah. Like, if I go into the joint, he'll be fine.
Might be better.
Or probably better. Yeah. Thank you, Brian. You're right. But if Cheech and or Chong goes in, we got an issue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. So they're going to change policy now. Former Fleetwood Mac singer and guitarist Lindsey Buckingham is suing the band for kicking him off the latest tour. In court documents obtained by CNN, Buckingham claims that he lost an estimated $12 million in upcoming tour proceeds after he was involuntarily expelled from Fleetwood Mac in January. He's suing Stevie Nicks, Christine McVie, John McVie, McFleetwood for breach of fiduciary duty and breach of oral contract. It's not clear what led to Buckingham's departure from the group, though his suit outlines debate about touring schedules. But I saw him, we introduced him at the Greek with Christine McVie. They seem to be very happy together.
Well, there's this thing, I think. I don't know if this is how it's playing out. I was actually reading up a little on my old friend Nick Menza, who was a friend of mine, childhood friend, and his dad and parents, Don Menza, saxophone player, still around, still playing. Nick died a couple of years ago at the Baked Potato. He was drumming, just in a jazz, whatever, and just literally just died while he was up on stage.
What's the Baked Potato?
On Cahuenga.
Baked Potato's a old jazz, famous jazz place on Cahuenga. He was a drummer for Megadeth, the band.
Oh, yes.
And they, you know, so there's this thing where the band goes out and you're making a lot of money because you're a big band and you're selling out arenas and you can give Lindsey Buckingham a quarter of what you're taking home, or you can pay another guy $300 a night
as an employee
to go out, learn these licks.
Yeah.
And you just go out there and we'll have a younger Lindsey Buckingham and we won't have to whack everything up. I feel like that's part of it. I was just reading this article that Megadeth was like basically saying to Nick Menza, oh, we'll pay you. Come on tour with us, but we're not whacking. Mm-hmm. We're not whacking it up. In other words,
there's no equity. But Lindsey Buckingham is like,
he's
a draw. People want to see him specifically.
I agree, and he can do his single. I think I'm in trouble.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's his.
I was thinking Holiday Road for Vacation.
Road, yeah.
Oh, that one. Before that, Lindsey Buckingham had a single hit called "I Think I'm in Trouble" that you guys will. Or maybe it's just called Trouble.
Trouble.
It's called Trouble, and you'll know it.
I like it so far.
I think I could do this part if I karaoke this song. Here's where I'd fall off. Dawson, you remember this one, right?
I've never heard this song.
You say that, but you're gonna. Guys are all going to jump in.
my adult life is telling people stuff where they go, I've never heard this before. And I go, yes, you have. Here we go. Yeah. 18 seconds ago, Dawes went, I've never heard this song before. It was a hit in 1978 or something.
81.
81. Mick Fleetwood. What do you think he hates more, when Lindsay plays this or Holiday Road?
Probably Holiday Road.
Holiday Road.
Okay.
You get Beverly D'Angelo singing backup on that one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, the oh, that's Beverly D'Angelo.
I didn't know if it was just one of those like Paul Simon Chevy Chase things.
I think it is Beverly D'Angelo.
Okay.
And I like it better than this song.
Here we go.
This is a good story for Garagus. Can they kick him out without legal repercussion?
So, Dawson, you've heard this, but I think that we're the only two, right? Number 9 on the Hot. It was a top 10 song in 1981. Yeah, there you go.
It's
definitely
smooth.
Grew up a heavy radio listener. This is ringing a bell.
Yeah, it was on. It got some spins.
First 10 seconds.
I would have only heard it on the radio. All right.
Okay. Can we hear a little bit of Holiday Road?
What's
the
word? We can hear it in our heads.
Repetitive?
A little bit.
I think he's in trouble.
Holiday Road has a familiar refrain that is repeated as well.
This is a curious song. The video is mind-blowing.
There's a novelty vibe to it.
You know what? This might be a Tool tune.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know it was a question.
It's kind of a cheating song because it does that doo-wop-y kind of, and it's just that harmony, and it's like, it's so easy to, it's so
very
likable.
Pretty stupid video. So, just in time for fall, Italian fashion house Fendi is selling a $990 fur shawl. Fine. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But many on social media say the pink silk scarf with the fox fur trim looks exactly like a vagina. And the picture quickly went viral online. I'm sorry, I didn't give Kaylin a heads up to dig it out. We had it for the other day. The touch of fur shawl, there it is.
Oh, yeah.
Sold by online retailer Farfetch, is described as delicately monogrammed with the Fendi logo. While the main product photo features the shawl in pink, it's a pink hue called rosewood.
Kaylin, turn this upside down and put it back on the screen.
And shoppers can purchase it in blue and in blood red.
Come on.
Yep.
It's not true.
It's pretty vaginal.
It looks very vaginal. You go to amcroll.com, I think, and look at it. Or you can just squat on a mirror if you're a lady. It's a pretty good representation of what we just saw up there.
How does that reach the market? How do you think that no one flags that?
Guys, there it is.
Guys.
We turned it over. It is a vagina.
An unfortunate cowl neck.
Oh, I think it's out of Italy.
Yeah, Fendi.
Yeah, the thing about Italy is those guys got boners and everything. You ever talked of anyone from Ferrari? She's like, the car, she's like a woman.
She's like, she purrs.
Yeah. It's like everything, they must like at some point like cross the line. Like my wife, she's like a woman. hey, Tony, I am a woman. like a beautiful woman. It's a shame. Like everything to them is a woman. Everything's about fucking for them.
Clearly.
Everything about that car, every time they discuss a Ferrari, it's like, she's like a woman. It's just the curves. And that's all it is.
I respect the passion.
Yeah. I get it. They love women. That's why the guys, they stay at home, live with their moms until they're in their 40s, you know?
Yeah.
It's a weird relationship, the Italian mom. I have it. I have an Italian wife and an Italian son, and I see what goes on over there.
It started with that generation, though, because that wouldn't be the vibe in Chris Carolla's house.
Well, my mom is not Italian. My dad is full-blood Italian, so he has more the... don't pay attention to your kid gene, and my mom has kind of like fucked up Irish gene or something. I don't know.
She comes by it honestly.
She comes by it honestly. Mm-hmm.
Well, Reuters reports that a 2-seater convertible car, speaking of cars, owned by Marilyn Monroe, is going up for auction in November. And I don't know if you've heard yet, but any guesses on what they're expecting that to fetch?
Where's it going?
It's going up.
RM, Sotheby's.
It's a 56 Raven.
Bonhams.
56 Raven Black Ford Thunderbird. It was owned by
Raven Black.
Yeah, Raven Black.
Yeah, because Raven's not a model.
A Raven Black Ford Thunderbird. And she had it for 6 years before her death in 1962. It's being auctioned for the first time. Monroe gifted the Thunderbird to the son of her acting coach, Lee Strasberg, in 1962. The current owner, he wants to remain anonymous, tracked the vehicle down through registration tracked it down during, you know, through the Strasberg estate. The car's undergone restoration but retains many original parts. Any guesses what they're thinking it will go for?
Well, that Thunderbird that I'm not a real expert on is probably in the 40 to 70, or maybe, let's say, a good shape one is under 100 grand now. Their Thunderbirds never really took off in that collector car world, although, I don't know, Max Pato, what is one of those? You said it's 57?
56.
56. Yeah, it's probably that car just restored is probably $75,000 nowadays.
So with the story and with Marilyn Monroe.
Well, it's interesting because it used to be that you had to have some presence in the car world. So anything Steve McQueen would go nuts. But like John Lennon would they'd sell John Lennon's Lamborghini and nobody cared.
Right.
Like, because you didn't have, you weren't in that world.
Right.
And it's kind of, it's weird. Like Paul McCartney had a Lambo that didn't sell. And
the Janis Joplin
hand
painted.
Rod Stewart had one that didn't sell. So it's like, oh, we didn't care. But Janis Joplin had her roadie paint her Porsche and do like a crazy psychedelic paint job. And that was her roadie doing this weird custom paint job. And that thing went for like $1.7 million or something.
Found one on eBay like for $34,500.
And what's the most expensive one you might see on there?
I'm seeing one for $48,400.
All right. So restored could be $75,000 with a full restoration on. So what are they tacking? They have an estimate. Do they have an estimate? They'll have a range. The range will be 2 to 275?
Yeah, this one I have an up to amount, so instead of the range. But you're low. You're very low. They said, yes, any guesses?
I feel like since you're bringing it up, it must be ridiculous. I'm going to say over $1 million.
Okay, well, you guys, you'll have to meet a little bit in the middle. Could fetch up to 500 grand.
That's weird. And that's, it is it's 300 to 500?
I'm seeing another site.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because they usually give you a range. They usually give you like a sort of a bottom, low end.
Yeah.
And so the person that owns this car, the bottom of the range, the 300 to 500, and that's a pretty big range, the bottom is usually kind of where the reserve is. So if this thing stalls out at 250, it won't sell. But it is this weird memorabilia world where everyone is now. This stuff formerly, nobody would have cared about this a few years ago. And only if she was a car person. So I don't know. My Marilyn Monroe thoughts are always, I from doing Loveline all those years, I always hear those little girl, that little girl voice. And then, she ran away and she lived in orphanage. It's like, she was a molestation victim or something. Like something horrible happened to her.
The breathy baby voice.
Yes. And then she just became a sort of... Dr. Drew would say it about Pam Anderson. She's a female impersonator. There's a weird thing that happens. And then when he would say this a million years ago. Now you found out that she was abused and it's victimhood and it's all that stuff. All that.
They'd be hypersexualized and like this.
Right. She
and hyperfeminine.
Right. Yeah. Super breathy. I don't know what her story is, but she like had to go be raised somewhere. Like when you leave the house as a young girl, something horrible is going on. And then she just turned into this sort of sexual caricature. And it's really sad. But if you think about her life, that's how all that her life just sort of went exactly how it started when she was five.
Right. And still such a mysterious and tragic and early ending. You know, it's like all that stuff is sort of somehow tied together.
Weren't her pictures in Playboy without her permission?
I don't know if that's true.
He did. He did. Hugh Hefner did start that, and he did pay somebody for him. I don't know if she. I mean,
she
I'm sure she didn't.
For Playboy. They were after. They're published after she took
right.
them. Obviously.
And he got. Obviously, she got him started. All right. Let me tell you about where was she.
I think it was years
Mama
later.
Jean.
She. I mean, she was raised. I don't know if it was an orphanage or I don't know if she somewhere some other family or something. But she didn't. She didn't hang out with their folks like as. Best of my knowledge. Does that sound familiar to you guys? Oh, you look it up. I'll tell you about the Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown. Rob your engine of maximum performance. You can lose up to 10% in friction and performance. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to get stronger under pressure. Helps fight friction, deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times, fool! 3 times stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. Castrol Edge, unlock the true performance in your car's engine. Do we find out what Marilyn Monroe did?
According to Wikipedia, born and raised in L.A., Monroe spent most of her childhood in foster homes and in orphanages and married at the age of 16. And while working in a radio plane factory in 1944 as part of the war effort, she was introduced to a photographer from the first motion picture unit and began a successful pinup modeling career. Very early.
That's a bad sign, bouncing from orphanage to orphanage in terms of who your biological parents were. And what they were doing to you. The biological parents I feel sorry for. Jim Morrison's parents.
Was it? Oh.
His dad was a rear admiral in the Navy. And every time he'd go on an interview, he was like, what about your parents? They're dead. Like, his dad had to be sitting home in his admiral's outfit going, what the fuck? Hey. I put that kid through ROTC. This is bullshit.
He still had my health insurance.
What the fuck?
Still USAA.
My parents are dead. They died on the road. They hit a Comanche Indian and they're gone. You know, and it's like, no, we're live. We're in Florida. I'm a rear admiral. I'm kind of a big deal. No.
That's
I paid
up.
For UCLA.
I paid for film school, for fuck's sake. What the fuck? This how you repay me? Jesus Christ, told you to get a fucking haircut once. We had an argument, and now
this is how you're paying me.
This is it.
So Mashable says Marilyn Monroe had a difficult childhood, born Norma Jean, blah, blah, blah. 1926 to a mentally unstable mother and absent father. She spent her childhood in a series of foster homes. The identity of Norma's father is still unclear.
All right.
So there it is.
Yeah. Jim Morrison would go, my dad's dead. Sad. All right. I may be a dick to my dad, but I don't say he's dead.
That's right.
Guy was a rear admiral. That's a big deal.
Yeah, should be proud of that.
Yeah.
That's the man.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was the wrong place, wrong time.
It is weird because it's the 60s and you got the hair down to here and it's all Vietnam War and your dad's a fucking rear admiral. I guess you got to say he's dead, right? What was Jim Morrison's dad? He was a rear admiral. He must have been in the Navy for 30 years.
A career guy.
You got to be a career guy.
To become an admiral, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. United States Navy Rear Admiral and Naval Aviator. Commander of the U.S. Naval Forces in the Gulf of Tonkin during the Gulf of Tonkin
Gulf
incident
of, Tonkin.
Of August 1964.
Yeah, so he was in country. He was in Vietnam. Oh, okay. So I didn't want to get into it, I guess.
Don't ask.
It was an easier time before Google. Where's your dad? Well, he's running the naval forces for the United States. He's crushing these little brown people. But anyway, I'll just say he's dead, and we can just move on. I can play my concert. Like that's bad pub when your whole, hey, man, it's all about peace and love, and your dad is just firing tomahawk missiles into villages all day, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what my dad does. First, put down that protest sign in that rock.
That's right.
I'll tell you exactly what he does.
Oh, he died in a bong explosion. Yeah. First he was blinded, then he just bled out.
He was on the board for normal.
Yeah, that's right. He was a cave dweller. He was living with the Hopi Indians, and his bong exploded.
The other admirals must have given him so much shit about his kid, too, right?
Oh, my God.
That's shaming.
The other admirals must have been like, your kid, how's the Lizard King? How's the Lizard King doing?
Yeah. Hey, Yeah, well, he must have been Morrison, right?
Admiral Morrison. Every Vietnam movie we see or have seen up to this point has always prominently featured the Doors, right?
Right. Yeah.
How many Doors songs was he, you know, subjected to listen to? Whereas men just, you know, walking past the barracks or whatever, and it's like, it's my boy.
Yeah. Also,
while he was in Vietnam,
it'd be fun too with the like the guy going up to Admiral Morrison and being like, "Hey, I like your son's new song. Oh, Break On Through? Oh, no. Light My Fire? No. The one where he's screaming and wants to fuck your wife. I guess that'd be
kill you. Yeah.
His mom. What's her name? Sharon? Yeah, anyway.
Is that a picture on
the
your
The one
desk?
Where he's just screaming about his mom, want to fuck. Yeah. You're still with Sharon, right? And then he's going to kill you. I mean, look, thank God we're in the Gulf of Tonkin. I don't know. He can't get to us, but what about your wife? She stayed.
You're a marked right? man.
She's back. She's in Tallahassee, man. Right? Like, what? You should call her.
Check in on her.
Yeah.
No reason. Just want to hear
Mother.
Your voice.
Yeah, I mean, had to be tough on Admiral Morrison, right, with those songs.
Imagine it came up once or twice amongst a certain rank. You know, there are a lot of people below him probably couldn't bring it up.
If he probably gets stressed out, he just fires a couple more missiles.
Yeah.
Ultimate stress relief.
I wonder, do you think, I don't know, did he have another son? Is this his only son? He had another son?
Yeah. And a military guy?
Andrew Lee Morrison, all I know is he lives in Hawaii.
Wow. Now, he was probably more the Navy brat.
That could
type,
be a retired
right?
military guy.
Also had a daughter.
Mm-hmm. Mm. What year? Oh God, he must have been so weird. So your son says he's dead. Well, maybe that's a good thing, because then we don't know whose mom he wants to bang. You know what I mean? When he's my mother, I want to...
That's not really a song.
I would have been a horrible member of the Doors. I would have been like, peppy. Yeah.
We're a minute eight and a half.
Yeah. Come on, we're going to do Ed Sullivan. You screaming for 20 minutes about wanting to bang your mom. I should find it in poor taste. Like, I just feel like we have more to offer than that, you know?
Yeah, Ray shouldn't have gotten on board with that.
Yeah, Ray Manzarek, right?
Yeah, he should have been the voice of reason. Yeah.
I agree. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. All of a sudden, I want to be reunited with the baby I tried to murder.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Also had to be a bitch, too, when it's like you're just playing your riff on your Hammond organ, and all of a sudden... Morrison just goes fucking off the reservation like then he walked on down the hall and you're like, oh fuck, no, I have to now vamp like the drummer's like, I have to just fucking, I gotta get the brushes out, we gotta just vamp here for 20 minutes while he goes on this fucking tirade about walking down the hall,
rolls like, around on the ground,
right, wants to bang his mom, wants to go, and he walked on down the hall. Yeah.
Hey, Jim, we're a minute 11. Can you wrap this up?
Where's this going?
And he opened a door. And there was no one in the room, so he walked on down the hall. Like, if I had a mic, I'd be like, Jim, get to the end of the fucking hall. Please.
How big is their house?
Please, get to the fucking end. The fucking strawberry alarm clock has been standing in the wings for 45 fucking minutes while you walk down the hall. The venue's been flicking the lights on and off, and you're just walking down the hall. And he got to the end of the hall. Okay, right. Jim, can't his mom be in the first room in the hall so he can fuck his mom at the beginning of the hall? Does he have to go to the end of the hall every fucking concert? Father, right, I get it. He wants to. Okay, can we at least make that? Let's not make the hall so fucking long. Let's have it like a small bachelor apartment. Let's make it an entry hall.
Yeah.
Can we leave
studio,
that?
Studio apartment.
Studio apartment. And he walked past the Murphy bed and the hot plate. And his mom was right there by the door. Can we do something like that? I want to. Jim, what if he wanted to praise you? Like, what he said, like, Mother, I want to praise you. Like, what about some kind words for Mother? Can't we just, let's have her toward the front of the hall.
There's 4 minutes left in the song at this point.
Let's have the dad on a folding chair right near the door. And let's have him just shake his hand and look him in the eye and thank him. Yeah, he wanted to bang his mom. But again, when he would go off into vamp mode and everyone else on the fucking band is like, oh, I'm going to be up on this hi-hat for 20 minutes while he's on his fucking high horse talking about the Hall. And, you know, for the people in the audience, they were going on some journey. But sure. For the guys in the band, like, oh, fuck, we're going down the Hall again.
Here we go.
Yeah. What is the name of that song?
The End.
Oh, that is the
ironically,
end.
The song that has no end.
Right. Mm. It's crazy that got spins.
Yeah, I guess.
On the radio.
Yeah. Feature prominently Apocalypse Now.
Tell August to book Jim Morrison's dad on there. I see his Admiral Morrison's probably gone, right?
He's gone.
Is the mom still alive? Yeah. We should. Let's get the daughter on.
Maybe Andy Lee still listens.
We should
Hawaii.
Get the daughter on. But boy, did you dodge a bullet when your brother came home. He banged your mom. He killed your dad.
Good thing you're a heavy sleeper.
Thank God he just kept walking down that hall. All right. Did we bring it home?
We did.
Oh, sorry. All right. Let me tell you, last but not least, Simply Safe. Looking for a security system can be a pain. Simply Safe. It's the best home security. Two eyes in there. Great protection. Ridiculously easy to use. And no hidden fees or pricey contracts. Get it at simplysafe.com/Adam. All right. You go to AdamCarolla.com. You can check out Adam Carolla Goes Racing. Lots of stuff out of Goodwood and Motor Trend. .com/Adam. You can watch all the seasons, us going racing. Check out Chassis as well. Two S's and a Y. See all the good stuff there. Chris Gethard, everyone. Lose Well, available now on Amazon. And you can check that out. There's a book tour. San Francisco's coming up. Portland's coming up. DC's coming up. Get tickets at Chris Geth. GETH.com. Yes, I got that right.
You nailed it.
Feeling
thank you for having
good.
Me. It's
my
awful
pleasure.
Nice of you.
Until next time, that'll be a wrap on Rob and Chris and Gina and Bald and Ace. Mahalo.
God damn it. It's so hot out. I don't want to wear shorts anymore. I'm tired of wearing shorts.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Fantasy BS, hosted by Bald Brian and Sonny Carolla on Podcast One. Stand Up Live in Phoenix. Two basic cable commentary shows with Adam Ray and Mike August coming up on October 27th. And then we are at the Grove of Anaheim, November 30th. Live podcast with Rob Riggle. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, mandatory events, books, movies, and more. Visit AdamCarolla.com.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.